All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots going on in the world of sports tonight as we are down to our final four in the NBA, the four best teams, or at least the two best in each conference in particular, as the Cavs and the Hawks will be playing in one side and the Clippers and the Rockets in the other side. And LeBron's still alive with his Cleveland Cavaliers, but the Hawks, of course, a number one seed. Hawks and Cleveland start Wednesday night, and the Warriors and Rockets start Tuesday night. So it's the best teams from their conferences going forward to play to represent their conference in the NBA Finals, and just starting off this week. So a lot going on there. IU Sports, a lot going on there also. The Indiana Hoosiers made the Big Ten tournament in the baseball. They'll be playing up in Minneapolis for the baseball tournament for the Big Ten. And a chance, of course, to get into the NCAAs. In Glass, they play, what, Wednesday morning, I think?
Breakfast buffet.
There you go. Is that on TV?
Every game is televised. Big Ten Network will have all of them for us coming up this week. So great stuff there.
Excellent. It's been up and down for the Hoosiers, but they are peaking at the right time, as you mentioned, off the air. And that's always key.
It is.
Get some attention, and certainly once you get there, maybe you can make something happen. A win in the Big Ten tournament, a win of the tournament, would, of course, get them automatically into the College World Series. And just to guarantee things, that'd be awfully nice. But we start tonight with some news we had talked a little bit about the possibility of on last Wednesday's show after it came out that Devin Davis was found to have a bag of marijuana in his bag in a dorm room, and Hunter Mascara-Perea was in the room with him. We discussed that on Wednesday, and come Thursday night, both of them have been removed from the program by Coach Crean and the program. Indiana men's basketball announces that sophomore Devin Davis and senior Hunter Mascara-Perea have been dismissed from the program effective immediately for not living up to their responsibilities to the program, was the statement that was released. Coach Crean went on to send out a little bit more information, but not anything any deeper than that, other than wanting to be able to help them, but that has to kind of go by the wayside. And that's what we talked about on Wednesday. You keep doing dumb stuff one after another. There comes a point in time where the idea that you can help these kids or save them or teach them the right way, if they aren't going to come along with you, do some of the things you're telling them to do, eventually you got to cut it loose and see if that gets their attention, and they've done that at this point.
Well, and the next step is, does it get the attention? Because nothing up to this point had, and the misdeeds continued. It started, as we mentioned, last February with Mascara-Perea getting arrested for OWI, and I think that was the night after, I think earlier in that night they had or maybe that was Halloween, I get them confused, where they have someone come in and speak about the rigors and dangers of doing stupid things like that, and less than 8 hours later someone's in jail
doing
for
something
it.
Stupid.
Well, they've done, what I understand, they have done part of their work in the sense where they've brought in ex-players, they've brought in cops, they've brought in rehab people, they've brought in to tell you about all the dangers.
Everybody says, you know, off the cuff, hey, they aren't doing anything over there, they aren't paying it. No, they are.
They're just not.
They're dumb decisions being made after the fact anyways.
They don't think it pertains to them. And this was the only message I think you could have sent to the rest of the players involved on the team. How many are left? Five? Six? How many? We got Yogi, Robert, Troy, Priller.
James,
Nick
Zeisloft, Colin,
Ryan Burton, and Colin Hartman.
Emmett Holt.
So
we're getting higher.
So it's nine. That's good. but again, those nine
guys.
But now
we have two available scholarships.
Well, Yogi's already had a check in his box.
Yeah.
Troy's had two. Emmett Holt has had one.
Yeah.
So there's still some guys out there where you say, well, that's
what's
never going to happen again. No. You said that in November.
No, I know.
You, the fan, said in November, there's no way this is going to happen again. Well, we almost got 7 months.
Yes, we did.
Almost. So As a person of sane mind and body, it's not over till it's ever over, and it's never over. So you hope this batch of people learns by it. You hope the people that come on campus to start this new process, the gentleman's from Missouri, and
Morgan,
the big boy,
and
Abadi. I don't know how you say his last name. I'm sorry.
We'll figure it out.
The point is, they come in now and say, whoa, that was heavy. What was going on here?
Right.
last year people came in and said, "Woo, let's party."
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it's no big deal. So let's see if the new crop buys in, or if someone says, "Well, they had to get rid of them. Look what they got rid of."
Well, and as you mentioned, guys. I mean, the crop that's still here, whether they're buying into it or not.
Yes.
You know, I hate to say Yogi's figured it out, but it's been since last year. You can give him 12 months if you want.
Exactly right. What we don't know is, are these guys sitting around going, "Well, duh, those guys are stupid. We at least don't get caught." You don't know that. You don't know that because they haven't shown me anything in the past differently.
It's not, and that's they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
They don't, and that's the other problem. So you know what the easiest thing is to do? Go to class. Go to practice. Do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Be a law-abiding citizen, just like 99.9% of the population. We're not asking, as fans, for them to go above and beyond duty, Dave. We're not asking them to get out a toothbrush and clean the tile at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're not asking them to volunteer 100 hours a week when they're not in class to do other things. Mm-hmm. We're asking them to do what is expected of them, written down for them every year, every time they have these meetings and everything else. You're an Indiana basketball player. You're different. And this is why you're different, and this is what you have to do differently. If you don't like it, no problem. You can quit at any time.
Right.
Not a big deal.
You don't have to be here.
You don't have to be here. You were not drafted into this army.
Right.
And you can AWOL at any time you want, and no one's going to be upset with you. But you have to understand you have to play by a different set of rules. And it's sad, as you mentioned, I think sad is the exact word you use here. It's sad it had to come to this, mm-hmm. but that's what led to this, and there was no other decision, in my opinion, that would have made any sense.
No, it couldn't be. And again, it comes down to me, look, you can forgive individual actions here and there, and I don't think what ended up happening to end this up was all that big a deal at the long run, but it is a legal issue. It is a program issue. And more importantly to me, again, and why this action was taken was because it's at least the second issue for each of them, in which case, quite honestly, of all the things we're talking about with all these players, the two dumbest issues that we've had are the OWI and then jumping on the hood of a car and bouncing off it. You want to say that trying to get into one of the local bars on Little Five Weekend is dumb. Yeah, it's not real smart, but it's not the most offensive to me. An OWI with the number that Honor blew is by far the second most dangerous. The other one is again bouncing off the ground with your head. Neither one of those are both life threatening, is the way I've described them. They are life threatening situations. They didn't end up costing any lives, but they were life threatening. And then to make stupid decisions after that is what gets
I think the point is the blatant show of you don't think someone's going to notice you.
Right.
That's just as bad because that shows that you have
no grasp
of anything that's going on because either you think
that's probably their way of laying low.
They're going to let me in. Or B, I'm going to get away with it, and they'll let me in because I'm a basketball player and whatever it is. So if you want to believe either one of those, that's why this is a problem as a whole, not an individual problem. Lots of people, lots of problems.
Yep.
Now you see what happens.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Doing very well, fellas. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, just listening to all this, and I, you know, everybody has these criticisms of Tom Crean and his coaching style, and this, that, and the other thing, because you know we haven't won as many games, or you know all the championships, or this isn't a Bob Knight team, or whatever. But in this instance, I think Tom Crean did. I think he should have acted on this sooner. But I think at some point in time, somebody had to be made the example of. And these two for this particular, because in my opinion, for just one man's opinion. But the biggest problem that IU basketball has had over the last few years, probably since Tom Crean has been with the team, is not his coaching style, but with his discipline and the fact that you know when the guys aren't there, it's out of season, and even sometimes in season. They seem to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and there seems to be no repercussion.
Yeah.
I think he's brought down the stick, and, you know, it finally, perhaps this will resonate amongst the rest of the guys. That
he has a very fine line to walk. He cannot be known nationally as a program that is, A, in trouble, and, B, is stricter than the top button on a shirt because kids will not come there knowing misstep will cause them problems.
If they're coming to a convent, they're just not going
to
come.
That's not an exciting thing to do, is to be monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But, Greg, as you eloquently put, they have caused themselves to be monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Remember last year, all we heard before the season started? This year, nobody lives off campus. We're all living on campus. Right. How did that work out? Very well at all, because all of these transgressions happened Halloween. You heard about the other ones in November, but I'm just saying.
No, you're exactly right.
They put themselves in their own position, and Greg, your discipline angle is I think is true.
And I'm not going to argue that point at all. I am going to point out, however, and this comes down to an individual by individual basis. How many of these problems were we having when it was Christian Watford and Derek Elston and Jordan Hulls and Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo and Will Sheehy?
You recruit it. You recruit the good guys, you get credit. The bad guys, you
get
credit.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, if we say it's a culture of that happening, it's a culture right now because clearly the guys that are there have not paid any attention or not willing to do what they're being told, and now a couple of them have lost their chance to play in basketball.
And Greg, I think
they should.
And I think it goes to another level as well. You've seen guys leave for quote unquote apparently no reason. Nobody could figure out why Remy Abel wanted to leave. Nobody can figure out why Luke Fisher wanted to leave. Nobody could figure out why Austin Etherington wanted to leave. Nobody could figure out why Maurice Creek wanted to leave. To a degree, you can just keep going through these guys, and some guys don't want to be around that. Some guys don't want to deal with it. That's not what they signed up for. And again, when you don't hear anything, it leaves us to connect the dots, and that's what makes it. But I think that's accurate. If you let them get to this stage, you've let them get to this stage. And I said last week, I said if you weren't upset last November when in 3 days you had the Emmett Holt, Devin Davis, followed by the double suspension with Williams and Robinson, you're never going to care.
Well, and you know, to your point, Dave, what you were saying, with Zeller and Oladipo. You know, I think you just kind of disproved yourself with the Hollowell and all these guys, you know, taking a beeline out of town. I mean, Mo Creek, I understand. But the rest
of
the
guys. Yeah, I didn't bring up Hollowell for a reason because he was suspended 3 games.
Yes,
I brought up the guys. Remy Abel had no problems. Right. Luke Fisher had no problems. Austin Etherington had no problems.
Right.
Johnny Marlin had no problems. You can just keep going about all the guys that didn't want to mess with it.
Right, or either that or they did, and, you know, maybe they saw the bigger picture. I don't know. But the issue is that, you know, you see these things, and people get away with them, and with a little slap on the wrist.
Sure.
At some point in time, you have to make that example, and you can use Duke as an example. And of course, this kid was a little.
Who has never been charged with anything, by the way.
Right, but they, you know, and Coach K has never dismissed anybody from his program.
Right, that's absolutely true. In 30-something years.
And yet, the guy's never been charged with anything.
Right,
right. But when you look at the bigger picture here, it's the same sort of thing. He had to set to make that example. And I think that's what Tom Crean did in this instance, and I'm sure he didn't act alone. I'm sure that he and his people got together and decided, you know, this was the best.
You know, the interesting thing about all this was that Hannah Mascara Perea was added to this. He was not charged with anything, according to any report, but Indiana University made sure that everybody knew he was there, which was, I thought, interesting. Now, whether my opinion on that doesn't mean anything, but I would have loved to have seen if Troy Williams was in the room, how that
sure.
would have gone
well,
down.
Again, they made it easy.
Well, I mean, they did.
Greg, we got to let you go. Thanks
Good
for
job.
The phone
yeah,
call.
Greg,
we appreciate
call back anytime, brother.
They made it easy because it was the two guys that had done the two stupidest things of all. And I do judge them from a top-down level. I will rank them if we want to. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But it's true. If this were Yogi Ferrell, who has, trying to get into a bar with a fake ID on him,
and
do you think he's going to be kicked him off?
Consumption, illegal consumption.
It may have because of the same situation. But do you think that would have been something to kick him off?
That's,
being in the room
that's the
with a guy that had marijuana's bag again.
I
think it has a lot to do with the fact that the other guys have made
Troy
two
Williams
awfully
is in that
difficult
room, he's already been
decisions.
He's already failed two tests.
Well, that's yeah.
That's another. You want to draw a
that's
dot
following through
it.
On the same thing. You got a point there, but
and well, the thing is, that's what we know, and that's what they let us know, and that's my angle to that. They didn't have to mention anything
any
of that.
I would make this argument about Rashid Suleiman and Duke. If Coach K is kicking him off, then the kid's doing something wrong.
Now, if you're the first one in 32 years, you win a prize.
Exactly. There's no culture that I know of Duke that he needs to correct or get a hold of. Maybe there is, and we just haven't heard of it. But to me, the kid's doing something there, and more than once. Hey, folks, got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball tomorrow and Wednesday, and then we pick them up again on Friday, 8 o'clock, as they are in Kansas City the next two nights.
Oof.
And then they go back to Ohio, but to the northern part of Ohio, to play the Cleveland Indians. We got them Friday and Saturday. 7 o'clock on Friday, 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then Sunday, Glass.
Rev it up. The 99th edition of the Indianapolis 500. The greatest spectacle in racing. And we'll have all the pomp and circumstance for you at 11 a.m., followed by Green Flag Racing at noon. The forecast is okay. We'll hope we've got five more days to get that figured out.
Yeah.
And we'll be here through any, if there are any delays or whatever else, we'll have it all for you. We'll never leave you hanging on that. And Scott Dixon, your pole sitter, the 99th running, the 66th time on the airwaves here at WGCL Radio. How about that? Pretty cool.
Yep.
Pretty cool stuff there. And then tomorrow night at Yogi's, they will have it's the season finale in the building at 10th in Indiana as Drew Johansson and the Team USA divers that all have Indiana ties to them, whether they went here before. It's a pretty cool story, Dave. This is the USA World Diving Team that's going to Kazan, Russia. It's all IU people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a really neat story. If you didn't see it this weekend, you can get caught up on it tomorrow night. And we'll also have some tape thoughts from Coach Chris Lemonis as the Hoosiers in transit right now to Minneapolis to take on the Michigan Wolverines. The Hoosiers moved up to the sixth seed, Dave, after their weekend sweep of Ohio State. That series got moved around because of weather. The Hoosiers jump, and they miss Iowa at number two. Iowa's been not bad. You don't hear much about them because Illinois has won 25 straight, but Iowa was second in the league, and they only lost three or four times. So Indiana misses them and gets Michigan instead. Michigan did beat Indiana earlier in the year. You're asking me about tournament prospects. This is from D1 Baseball, and this is retweeted on IU's Twitter feed, so they take this seriously. Baseball's kind of weird. It's like soccer. There's 19 poles you can go by and sure. You can use. Indiana's RPI is now into the 30s and as of now is in good shape to be in the postseason. That's winning 10 out of 11, as we've told you. And as for Ohio State, it still has an RPI in the 30s because Indiana just swept them. Good thing, right?
Yep.
They're Indiana 12-10 in league play, Ohio State 13-11. We have a better winning percentage. That's why we're the 6 and they're the 7. But Ohio State's lost 8 of its last 9 games. So Indiana took a team that was getting beat and put it to them. And,
Big Ten getting some respect,
tasty.
Though, recently.
Yes.
It sounds like
Illinois is third in the country.
Yeah, that's great.
Numero tres.
Well, not for us because I hate Illinois.
Yes. Indiana moved up 14 spots to 37 in the RPI after sweeping Ohio State, so that's very, very nice. So, again, you know my rules this time of year. If you're going to go all the way up there and haul your stuff,
sure.
Go in the damn thing. Up there. You're going to play at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
If you lose, you play at 10 o'clock in the morning again. You probably don't want that. You're going to play at 6 o'clock on Thursday if you win. So there's some exciting things that can happen, and it's always tough to win these things. Indiana's won the last two. Is that correct? I believe so. They won it in 2013 and won it last year as well. So exciting times. So they got some guys that know what's going on, and as you mentioned, they picked the right time of year to play their best baseball, and their record against – I'm trying to find the record against ranked teams. It's really, really good. That's why their RPI is up there as well.
Yep. 333-2665 is our phone number. Again, we've also been talking IU basketball as Devin Davis and Hunter Mascara-Perea both kicked off the team for the incident that occurred early last week, about this time last week, where Devin Davis was found to have marijuana in a bag in a dorm room on campus, and Hunter Mascara-Perea was with him in the room. All of the talk for a long time about over-signing or over-recruiting, and suddenly now you're down two scholarships, so down to 11 from the 13 you can have. Apparently a former Michigan player who's a graduate transfer prospect, Max Bielfeld, a 6'8 player who played about 15 minutes a game for Michigan last year and has had some injuries earlier in his career. He just got done with a two-day official visit to Indiana and is going to decide.
Well, it's interesting because as of Friday, when they made this decision Thursday at 6 o'clock,
yeah.
Well, they're back in the transfer market.
They are.
Have you seen – we joked before all this came down – that Jeff Goodman kept a list of everybody that was transferring and doing it. This graduate transfer thing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
There must be 10 guys a day that are like, hey, I'm going to go instead.
Well, yeah.
So all these dominoes are falling, and it's very bizarre. But Indiana is so late into it,
mm-hmm.
you wonder if they, A, need it, B, want it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We saw this last year, though.
You filled two. Yeah, and but it didn't work.
But it was weird last year because we missed out on pretty much all of them. We already had Zeisloft on early in the prospect.
Sure.
But if you remember, there was about four or five different guys, and this included a freshman,
Evan Gordon,
a
year before that.
Well, but I'm thinking last year because
they've been in this realm.
Two of them ended up. One was a transfer who had to sit out because he was a younger guy. Thompson, that was a Virginia Tech. He went to Ohio State.
Sure.
And then the kid, the Lee kid from Temple.
Yes.
Who would have been a graduate transfer. He went to Ohio State. He didn't play all that much for him, but he went to Ohio State.
He was
and then
too.
Michigan State brought in a guy, the Forbes kid at some point
Brent
in time
Forbes,
from Cleveland, or from Cleveland State. And then they brought in the two freshman kids that we were looking at really heavily, including Marvin Clark, who was really, really late in the process. We ended up getting Emmett Holt really, really late in the process.
August. That's as late as you get.
Yeah, exactly. Perler and April were somewhere earlier than
April.
That. Yeah, exactly. But all of this was really strange at that point because you hear all these commitments happening so early now in college basketball, and yet there's this huge flurry in the spring and the summer before the year starts.
That's the other thing. You have this issue of oversigned or overcommitted, and you're still recruiting guys even though you don't have any room on your team for them, and you're doing all this and that. Here's the thing. Just if you – how you better find two guys that can help you now if you're going to do this.
Yeah.
Rental, graduate guy has 1 year and he's done.
Yeah,
see you later.
That'd be perfect.
But last year what they did is they went with two freshmen.
Right.
And then they, I don't want to say took up the spots.
Right.
But number one, the 12 and 13 guy is not going to get much run anyhow.
If they're that guy talent-wise, yes.
If they're that guy talent-wise, and most guys you get late in that process, you can name the exceptions to the rule, not the rule.
Again, here's the thing. I mean, if you look at a 6'8", 250-pound big guy at a position that we suddenly have a need for, which is backing up Thomas Bryant and Emmett Holt, and he's a fifth-year grad student, I'm not sure he's your 13th guy.
That's my point. My point is last year you brought in two freshmen, which hindered any flexibility you had during the season because
they couldn't play.
You didn't say these two are grads; they're gone at the end of the year.
Right.
Well, now you can do that, or do you want to bring on two more freshmen where you get in the same predicament year after year after year? Well, that's up to the people that make these decisions and make a lot of money. But the point is, you're right. The grad guy makes sense because he's gone next year.
Right.
He's gone. You bring in a four-year player.
Well, and again, he fits a need that you have right now. And he's not coming in as a guy who averaged 13 points and 8 boards last year and wants to make it 20 and 12.
He's not going to do it on this team.
No, but the point being, he's not looking for a place he can star and be the stud at. It doesn't look like, at least. If he can come here and contribute, this team can use that.
He has to find an academic institution that offers a graduate degree program that he would like to major in.
I'm not sure how accurate that thing is.
What?
That's what they say.
You mean that's a sham?
Well,
I'm not saying it's a sham. These kids have to go to
the university. What does Indiana have that Michigan doesn't?
You have to be enrolled and take X amount of classes.
Maybe he plays a viola or something.
That could be. You're right. But it has to be a graduate. It has to be a master's program.
Well, he's very good at viola.
We have very good School of Public and Environmental Management.
Sure.
We have criminal justice programs.
We have very good a lot of things. So does Michigan.
But again, he already graduated from Michigan. Now he wants a graduate degree. And what does everybody tell you? You don't get your graduate degree someplace. You get your regular
same
degree.
Same place, exactly.
No, you got to spread it out. You got to show your academic
Especially when
shots.
Michigan didn't want you anyways and told you not to come back.
That's not true. To how I understand it,
That's what he said.
As I understand it, he was told before the season started that this would likely be the outcome, and he didn't want to believe it. That's what I've been told. I'm just passing on what I've heard from those who pay attention.
So he wasn't allowed to have his fifth year.
You don't get a fifth year guaranteed. Ask Matt Roth about that.
Exactly.
So
nobody does.
There's different ways of how it goes down, and there's always three sides to every story. We'll let them settle it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if
regardless, he's a free agent at this point.
He is a free agent, and that's kind of what the so is everybody who hasn't signed yet as well. So that's interesting. So I don't.
Well, let's be fair to the kid in this regard. He's, he is not coming in as a guy who looks to be an All Big Ten stud next year.
No.
But we could use a contributor behind a couple big guys, and he would certainly fit the bill as a guy with what we don't have right now, which is a lot of size and some experience.
Sure, the Jeff Howardian player.
Okay. That works, well, good, I guess.
Good work. Good. But that's what we're talking about this time of year. This isn't going to be like Kentucky where they get guys that commit late because they want to see who's going to the pros. It's
right.
A little bit different situation right. There.
Which makes that JUCO transfer to Kentucky a little odd.
Everybody has a dream, Dave.
Yeah,
and
so.
I'm, you know, you can't squash them all in one commercial break. You can't do it.
We'll try, though. We got to take that break. We'll come back and squash all the dreams we can when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCS.
And I'll do a better job of putting this together throughout the rest of the week for you tomorrow and Wednesday morning. Indiana baseball will be on BTN Plus. I read the headline to the email, not the fine print. My fault.
Put together by a marketing guy.
Well, that's the guy's address is BTN.com, so you do what you want. BTN Plus, which is the streaming service, will have Indiana in Michigan Wednesday, May 20, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Game number two is Ohio State and Iowa. That is also being streamed. All the television starts with number one Illinois on Wednesday night to the Victor Go the Spoils. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like the first games Wednesday and Thursday are on BTN Plus. So if Indiana loses, they continue to stay on the internet. If they win, they move to the network. That's the easiest way to remember it. So, again, I'll do a better job of reminding everyone that BTN Plus, that is the streaming link. Number three Michigan, number six Indiana, Wednesday, 10 a.m. So no TV Wednesday unless you run it through a TV and put it. Yes, it's been done before, and we'll do it again. Now,
on the BTN TV channel.
Correct. One of them. They will have some replay of something instead of doing this. Because I can't answer that question. Williams Brother Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. You can find them at 574 South Landmark Avenue. Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life.
So over on IU campus, IU baseball awaits their Big Ten tournament. IU football is not making any news, which is a good thing nowadays.
Excellent.
And IU basketball is making news as they have two open slots and are considering filling it with a transfer, grad transfer from Michigan. Max Bielfeld just left town or campus or his visitor or whatever exactly, something like that. He's going to make a choice apparently between IU, DePaul, Nebraska, and Iowa State for his final year. He's from Peoria. And, of course, we have a guy from Peoria on the team, Nick Zeisloft. So maybe you could talk to him about how he likes it. 6'8", 250. Played about 15 minutes a game last year for Michigan, again, after losing Devin Davis and Hunter Mascara-Perea. Late in the process, it would appear that IU is back to having not a lot of depth up front. We honestly just don't know what Juwan Morgan and OG are going to provide for this team at this point in time. It would be a little foolish to think they're going to be studs right off the bat. Remember, Emmett Holt was a pleasant surprise for as late as he came in. And for being 6'7", he was kind of more of a true post guy in his game and in his mindset, but only played maybe 15, 18 minutes a game himself. So he did not play huge minutes for this team. He gave us some good minutes, but they weren't huge. So if you can get 10 to 12 out of a guy like Max Bielfeld as a fifth year senior, that'd be a big help.
That's the other thing. That's why that took a little bit later in the process. He was supposed to be a senior in high school, Dave. And
wasn't he going to a prep school?
Sure, or whatever it was. Yeah. I think he was on the young side of whatever it was. He reclassified. But again, everybody's got to get better off the court. Everybody's got to get better on the court. And again, if you had the us against the world mentality last year, okay, do it again. No one cares. Win basketball games. We don't care what your mentality is. Stay out of trouble. Win basketball games. That's how you do really good things. It's not a lot to ask for. You're not asking for perfect. Basketball is not a game of perfect. You don't have to be the best offensive team that's ever played at IU. You don't have to be the best defensive team that's ever played.
Right.
Win games. Play hard. It's not hard. It's not a hard recipe. Stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Play hard, and fans will love you forever.
And
usually good things happen to the guys that work hard. Those guys are the ones that get the lucky breaks every now and again because they make their own luck. They practice hard. They play hard. They get after it. Do the right things. And this team has a chance to re-earn the fans trust by staying out of trouble, mm-hmm. staying out of the papers, and again, doing what they need to do on the court.
333-2665 is a phone number, extrapolating and looking forward at the season. Long way off, of course, and at least two slots to possibly fill. We don't know for sure that they will, but they tend to be, so they may. But if I were to look at this right now and extrapolate based on what we've got, I would say you're probably still looking at similar type of lineups, in that you're probably looking at three guards and Troy Williams at your four position, and then some combination of guys at the five. You'd expect Thomas Bryant, based on what you know right now, to walk in to that starting slot. But if you expect him to play 35 minutes as a freshman, you're probably not paying a lot of attention to the way these things tend to go. But, you know, is it Emmett Holt behind him? Again, is it Morgan? Is it OG? Is it somebody like this guy if he ends up committing to Indiana? I think there's a combination of them. But I think what you've heard a few fans say is, why don't we play more with two true post-type guys in there? And I just don't see that this roster has got those two true guys standing out above everyone else that you're going to put them in front of. Yogi, RJ, James Blackman, Zeisloft, Hartman, Troy Williams. I mean, you could go down the list of guys that contributed pretty significantly for this team, that you have a hard time seeing some of these other guys coming in and just knocking their spot out of the roster.
Doesn't matter. You got to have guys ready to play. You saw it last year. James Blackman had problems with an ankle. You got guys get hurt. You got guys that hit a slump. You got guys that hit walls. You got guys that get in trouble. You got to have guys that can play. And not everybody has nine McDonald's All-Americans that can just trot out there and put into some kind of rotation or have them rotate in platoons. It doesn't happen. So you've got to have guys that can do more than one thing. But heaven forbid if Yogi ever gets hurt. He's played every minute since he's been on campus.
Yeah.
So he turns an ankle, he gets a tweaks a knee. Yeah. You got to have guys ready to step up and play. If Thomas Bryant isn't as great as every watch, I don't know how that's going to happen.
No,
if he's not Lou Alcindor when he walks in and he's got to play only 10 minutes a game because he can't figure it out for a little bit.
How dare you?
Well, you got to have other guys to pick up that slack. And it's sometimes, Dave, you can cover it with four or five guys. Sometimes you can cover it with two or three. Sometimes.
Well, I think we'd all like to not have to have Colin Hartman be your star five.
My point is, he's done it in the league.
I love him to death and what he gave us last year. And quite honestly, we looked really good with him out there at that position from times. But I think we all know that we need somebody inside that's workable.
And Colin
five
Hartman
on
got his knee hurt late in the game, and then he had nobody could take his minutes because you had injury problems. So everybody's got to figure it out, and everybody's got to, again, work together and make sure that they are prepared when they are called on, because you will get called on. It might not be till February 12th, but you have to be ready to play. And you have to contribute when you're there. That was the problem with Jeremiah April. You heard it. Don Fisher said on Dan Dockers' radio show, "Got him work hard in
point
practice.
Yep.
He's lazy." That's what he said.
Yep.
Those are Fisher's words, not my word, or something to that degree. Don, I'm not slandering you here, Fish. I love you. You know how that goes.
Poor work ethic.
He didn't work hard. Hannah Mascara Perea, Tom Crean,
2 years worth of that.
He said he's finally working hard in his junior year. Well, maybe that's some of the other bugs you get out, and then you get everybody kind of sprinting hard, getting after it hard. That does matter. If guys dog it in practice, guess what that does? Everybody gets upset the guys dog it in practice. And if they don't take care of it and nobody else takes care of it, then it's a leadership issue. And what we've heard for this team for the last 2 years, there's no leadership.
Exactly.
And that's not a knock on Yogi Ferrell, but it's a fact that he's the upperclassman there.
Yeah.
That's what the facts are.
And then the point guard, that's who you tend to try to look at.
You have to point in that direction. And again, if Colin Hartman's that other leader because he gets it, whatever it is, he can't help you if his knee's wrapped up and I sit at the end of the bench.
That's exactly right. So you need him on floor at some point.
Good teams have layers. We always talked about Wisconsin. What did they do well? Well, they got a great post player. They got guys can shoot three. Yeah. They can beat you off the dribble. They can defend. They did all these things. It wasn't a one-trick pony. So the better you get, well-rounded you get at all of those things, and it can't get any worse defensively, can they?
No.
They can't possibly get any worse.
Statistically, I don't think they can.
And every player has been pointed to in their postseason meetings saying, watch this.
Right.
No. I'm going to rewind it. Watch this.
See it again?
No, see, look. Yeah. You're over there, and the basket's over there.
Right.
You need to be here. Well, but that's it. When you come back 37-1, what do? Right? We're great.
Sure.
Won a title. What do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. Now you got something to chase. You got a piece of the puzzle. Now you hear the chatter. Last year was everybody hates us. We're not any good. Well, that's fine.
Whatever.
Look what talking got you. Got you 20 wins. Stop talking. Start working. We don't want to hear it.
To put a bow on one of the odder.
Hopefully we don't talk about basketball until.
again, to put a bow on one of the odder careers here at Indiana University, Hunter Mascara Perea came through the A-Hope. Program, which is linked at least somewhat here in Bloomington and Indiana.
Guardian, right?
And look, it was always a neat program, but he came through this as an athletic player that got all kinds of accolades way too early and way too much. And that's a little unfair on him because that's people saying how great he was going to be. I found a video of two of our former locals from the HT doing their Scoop Talk thing, which, by the way, is a lot of fun during the course of the year. Everybody's doing this. And the HT has been, over the years, had guys who have kind of pioneered this, certainly in this area, doing a lot of the video stuff. But here are some of the comments that were made about Perea. This was when he committed to Indiana. This was, I want to say, we were waiting on Yogi. We were waiting on Zeller at the time. Zeller was just taking a actual official visit. The Perea commitment, and these are going to be quotes here, huge. He's a surefire pro. He's the best player they were recruiting. The first since Eric Gordon that you know you're going to see in the NBA. In the olden days, he could have gone straight to the pros. Compared him to Amari Stoudemire and a smaller Dwight Howard. Big power, post presence, a nasty number four. He's going to have a Jared Sullinger-like impact in the Big Ten, and he's an impact guy. Now, they're projecting 2 years out from this guy reaching campus. They don't know the kid.
This was when he was 14 years old?
No, it would have been probably 16, probably junior year,
before
I think.
Before his junior year in high school?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Sure.
And again, you're extrapolating at that point. You're making your own guesses, but these are not experts in basketball, and they're making these kind of comments as a representative to the local media to a large group of people. People buy off on that, and all of a sudden, he's going to have a Jared Sullinger-like impact on the Big Ten, and he compares to Amari Stoudemire and Dwight Howard and Eric Gordon. Those are the names that are mentioned in there.
I can go back 10
all
years.
All that's unfair to the kid.
I can go back 10
but
years.
But the point there is that he was so hyped at that point that clearly has not come anywhere near
I can go back
that.
10 years and tell you how many times I've said, if you want to fall in love with YouTube videos, go ahead. Nobody has a YouTube the worst hits.
They Hell all, of a dunk.
They all have the greatest hits, and that means you're going to see nothing but good stuff. Not the turnovers, not the fumbling, falling down over their feet, their 15-year-old. Right. They're sick. They're selling themselves, and what they do is their coaches – and agents of their family sell themselves to media. They sell themselves to subscription services, and then those subscription services go around and tout them. Yeah. There's a reason they re-rank them 17 times a year, folks. It's not hard to connect the dots. Get a little smarter, please.
That story is over. Got to take a quick break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Again, no Reds baseball tonight, but we've got them tomorrow and Wednesday, 8 o'clock, as they are in Kansas City. We'll have them again Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock Friday, 4 o'clock Saturday, as they are in Cleveland on the weekend. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's, the finale of the season. You'll have Drew Johansson and the Team USA Divers, who all have Indiana connections, as Glass mentioned earlier. Really neat story for us Indiana folks. I'll also have Chris Lemonis to talk some IU baseball. And again, IU baseball opens up 10 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. And as we noted, it is not on the Big Ten network on your television sets, but it is on BTN Plus, which is an online streaming service. So you can see it, but you got to figure out how to do that and possibly even pay him a little bit of money to do it, unless you've already done so. But good luck to the Hoosier baseballers. We did manage to get a full field of 33 in over the weekend at the Indy 500, despite all the rain. You know, we talked last week and the week before a little bit about how they're trying to drum up a little bit more interest here for the Indianapolis 500, trying to get it back into the month of May. They had the Grand Prix two weekends ago, just trying to bring some of the buzz back to Indianapolis. And maybe it was the rain. I'm not sure. Maybe I was just in a, you know, my own cave over the weekend. But it seems to me like this is one of the least publicized, I guess, or least buzz I can remember from a full 33 that I can see here. Is there anything to talk about? Anything stand out to you with regards to this
it's a cluster.
Field of guys?
That's the problem.
You got Canassi won the poll. That's the one big difference I heard.
You've got two styles of cars. One is a street car and one's an oval car. And the oval cars started flipping over. If you saw the picture of Helio Castroneves.
I figured they just learned to fly, and there was that's well, what the new age was going to be.
That would be interesting.
That would bring back interest.
You have Honda that's really good on the road courses, and I guess the Chevrolet, I believe, was the other one. And again, I'm not an expert in aerodynamics or anything like that, but the problem was
cars.
Weekend was they were having problems with the flying cars, and they said, well, we're going to tone it down. We're going to tone the speed down. We're going to trick down the aerodynamics to make it more like race day instead of try to hit these massive speeds. And Honda was like, oh, hey, we're not having any problems with our cars. That's not our problem.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you guys go get that fixed out over there? And then it rained all day Saturday, and it got washed out. And then they rechanged this. Like I said, then Sunday rolls around, and now you're qualifying with the race setup instead of a qualifying setup. They can't get out of their own way. And unless you are a complete diehard racing fan, and I am not one. I was asking for explanations all day yesterday and all morning this morning trying to figure this out myself. And then today Honda had somebody flip and get into a bad crash. I believe it was not Carpenter. He was
over the weekend, right?
James Hinchcliffe. Again, they had a crash today. They had practice today going 227.
Hinchcliffe, yes.
So, again, what's happening? Why are there two different setups? Why are there two different cars doing two different things? Oh, because those are the rules you made a long time ago because you wanted all the money out of it, but yet Penske and Ganassi win every race. And Andretti, you know, Andretti, the poor people, the poor Andretti. It's not the rich ones that used to drive. Yeah, right. Same people.
Right.
Have it all going on. But what happens on Sunday when they drop the green flag at noon, you got to put in 200 miles at 2.5 miles per lap. And if you're the first one across, it doesn't matter if you're in a two-seater, four-seater, whatever it is, you win. And it's pretty prestigious, and you win a ton of cash.
You want to take your car up there?
No, because I can.
These guys are all flying off the course. You might
be
able to win it.
And it's just, again, it's
slow and steady, just like the turtle.
They can't get out of their way. Nobody knows what they're doing. What happened to the 9-car shootout? What happened to this? It's just, again, I grew up in Indianapolis, and I have no clue what's going on. None. And I should be following this. But after a while, you just roll your eyes and you say, hey, guys, let me know when you get the rule. When you get your crayon out, you've written the rules down. Let me know what they are. So when I turn on the television and I'm watching this, I can kind of figure out what's going on. But the track closes at 6, but it doesn't close at 6 anymore unless there was rain. It's just, let's go glamping, shall we? There we go.
I like that better.
But you understand the pain and the suffering for the casual fan. The jarhead race jockey, buddy Griff, knows exactly what's going on.
Yes.
He's one of like 8 people in the state of Indiana that can tell you in less than 50 seconds.
Well, maybe we should have him on the show.
Let's get the race in. Let's avoid the weather. And everybody be safe. We don't need cars upside down and guys on fire.
That's the key. Let's get through the race and the weather, as you mentioned, and keep everybody on their tires down below and see what we can do. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. Remember, tomorrow night, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana at 6 o'clock, Joe Smith Sports Talk, and we will be back with you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.